Case number 6547, The Chinese Connection. Raucous music spilled out onto the sidewalk from the newest hotspot, the 172 bar. The fire code maximum had already been exceeded, so those on the street had to wait for people to leave before they could get in. As the DJ inside the club narrated his pick of alternative rock, the clubgoers drank and danced out on the pavement. An attractive young Zhu stood with four other men, a drink in his hand. Under his arm, a beautiful, tiny Asian girl stood, smiling up at him. Yong said something to her, and the group laughed. She pressed herself closer to his side. A late-model black Dodge Charger with black rims and black tint on the windows cruised slowly down the narrow street. As they passed the club, the back window rolled slowly down. The long muzzle of an AR-15 semi-automatic assault rifle appeared in the open window and began to spit bullets. The sidewalk erupted into a bloodbath. All five men immediately went down, including the tiny Asian girl. People began to run in all directions. Another man fell and began to drag himself away. Plate glass shattered and fell onto the pavement. A few desultory gunshots were returned by bouncers and partygoers, but the vehicle was already gone. The diminutive girl lay as though a huge hand had crumpled her body up and thrown her down like a discarded gum wrapper. Her long ebony hair fanned out, sticky with blood. Blood flowed to the edge of the curb and dripped into the gutter. Case number 6552, Truckload of Murder. The 18-wheeler had been sitting in the emergency pullout lane just off the George Washington Bridge for 7 days. The patrol officer, now walking around it, had stickered it himself with a bright orange notice stating it must be removed within 5 days. He sighed. What a pain. Getting the city to send a tow truck that was massive enough to handle the rig will eat up half my shift. He walked up to the cab and, stepping onto the foothold, tried the door. Still locked. The inside of the cab appeared to be undisturbed from the last time he'd taken a look. Then the smell hit him. My God, he gagged. There's something dead in there for sure. Holding his breath, he used his flashlight to examine the cab more thoroughly through the window. Nothing. He scanned the heavy plastic curtain that hid the sleeping quarters behind the seats. It was closed tight, and he wouldn't be able to see anything until he could get in the cab. Returning to his patrol car, he radioed it in. This is 316. I have a possible 1054 on the east end of the GW Bridge. I need a Slim Jim to gain access and, I guess, a couple of detectives. His radio crackled back. 10-4. 30 minutes later, a second patrol car rolled up, and an unmarked sedan arrived right behind them. After parking on the narrow shoulder, O'Rourke, Garcia, and Sneed exited the car and walked the 30 feet until they reached the pullout.
"What do you got?" he asked the patrol officer.
"Smelled it first, Sarge. We used the Slim Jim to unlock the truck after detecting the smell. Cab was clear. I opened the curtain to the back and saw a body. Been there a while. I backed out right away and called it in."
"Please tell me you wore gloves," Garcia asked.
"Yes, ma'am, but I only touched the door handle. Used my penlight to part the curtain. Didn't touch the body. ME is on their way."
"Good job, thanks," Stella said. "Get some gloves on, Sneed."
Stella and Jack gloved up and stepped up to each door to the cab. Stella, on the passenger side, knelt on the seat and opened the glove compartment. She pulled out the usual debris plus paperwork on the truck. She quickly found the registration.
"The truck belongs to Roger Creed. Address is in the Bronx. Phoebe, get up here. Time you saw a DB not all washed and clean from the river."
"Yes, Sneeze, let's see what you're made of,"